Welcome back for another episode of Blessed Is She That Believe. We're in season 3, episode 15, and it's called Make Your Idols. I am so sorry, y'all. I happen to have caught a cold. It's a sinus cold. I'm going to try to not be on here too long because y'all do not want to hear me sniffling and coughing and sneezing. So, but I'm here. Praise God. I'm here. Praise the Lord. I'm realizing right now that I'm breathing through my mouth and not my nose because my nose is stuffy. Oh, this is going to be a fun episode. Before we get started with anything, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for blessing each and every listener right now, Father God. I pray that your word encourages, strengthens, frustrates, convicts, motivates us to do your will, encourages us to keep going, frustrates our flesh, Father, convicts us if we're hiding or doing anything in secret. I thank you right now for your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, cut into the very marrow, able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Father, I thank you. And I bless your name. I give this gift, everything I have, everything I own, everything I do back to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, y'all. Y'all, this week was hard. This past week was hard for me because my flesh, oh my gosh, my flesh. It literally, y'all, what I just was thinking out loud to myself a few minutes before I hopped on this podcast, I was like thinking about how this struggle is so real. When you are determined to do it the right way, it's like, it's no letting up from, like, it's no letting up. Seriously, the enemy is like out for blood. He is out to steal, kill, and destroy. There's no letting up. Because I realized, I was like, man, the way I used to live, I ain't even talking about like 10, 15 years ago. I'm talking about like 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Like, if I messed up, it was like, okay. And not like, it's just, you know what I'm realizing now that I'm talking about it? I didn't have anything to lose. I did have stuff to lose, but I realized I've grown. And now the stakes are higher. And I can't afford to be messing up because, you know, when we accept Jesus, we choose to sin. Now it's not like we don't have to sin. We don't have to sin. And it's a scripture in the Bible, and I was trying to find it, but y'all, my head, it feels like it's swimming. I have scriptures up, but that's not the one I wanted to go to. Okay. Galatians, or as my super saved folks say, Galatians. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And then if you drop down to verse 13, says, "For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." It's basically saying you're free. When you accept Christ, he's made you free. But don't use your freedom as an opportunity to okay, well, I'm gonna just slip and slide over here for a minute and I'm gonna come back. Don't do that with your freedom. And it says, yeah, that was it, the Galatians. Sorry, y'all. It's just a little, okay. I'm told y'all I can't be on here too long. I'm so sorry. I had to go take some sinus medicine. Okay. What I was saying is, when you're made free in Christ, you choose to sin. It's not when we were living in sin, when we before BC, before Christ, we didn't have a choice because we were literally living in sin. Everything we did was sin. Like, we may not think it was sinful, but it was sinful because we didn't know Jesus. But now that we know Jesus, now that we know Christ, we are literally choosing to sin when we participate in it because we know better, because we have the word of God. We know Christ. He made us free from sin. But if you go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, it says what? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Paul is like, I don't think so. And so let me tell y'all something. My flesh was on the warpath this week to the point where I was having a tantrum praying to God about why I couldn't sin. Y'all, I'm not lying to y'all. I'm being so honest right now. I was sitting on the side of my bed before work. I mean, and y'all, I felt depression trying to creep in. I felt bitterness trying to creep in. Like, it was crazy. All because, God, you got me here in this spot and I'm trying to do it your way and it's hurting. It hurts. I just can't do this anymore. Like, but let me tell you what happened. My spirit rose up in me and said, so you gonna sit here and have a tantrum when you got people like Sister so-and-so at your church who going through chemo sessions right now? Like, not just in chemo, the heavy hitter chemo sessions, the one that's supposed to like basically break her all the way down, and you sitting on the side of your bed because you can't have your way? Or what about Sister so-and-so who they didn't even think she was gonna make it? They called her family in for her, but guess what? God brought her out, and you sitting here, you ain't even going through what they going through. Y'all, my spirit was talking to me and said, get up and speak this word over your life and get to work. And guess what? I did. I got up and I started speaking the word over my life. I cried out unto my Lord, because my Bible says, when you call upon the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. And I don't believe it's just for the prayer of salvation. That's priority. That's number one. But guess what? Now that I know him, I'm calling on him all the time. Jesus, you got to help me out of this. Father God, you got to help me out of this through I need the power that rose Jesus from the dead. I need that kind of power right now to speak. You know, I had to call on Jesus. I called on Jesus so hard. I think Jesus was like, dawg, she's serious. And I was, because I was going, like, my flesh, I was like, I'm not, listen. I'm about to make an altar right now and lay my own self on the altar, like physically, literally, because this don't make no sense. I was like, Lord, you got to burn up this flesh, consuming fire. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now and take out all of this stuff that's not of you. Burn it up with your holy fire. Like, we got to start speaking like that. And let me tell you something. I mean, I've said it several times on here. My sin, my sin that I was in was fornication. That, y'all, let me tell you, if I have anybody on here who's waiting until they get married to have sex, do not give in before you get married. It's hard. I know it's got to be hard, especially if you've been waiting your whole life, which you have been waiting your whole life, but what I mean is you're older. And you still haven't given in to your flesh. Don't give in to your flesh. It's going to be worse for you, especially if you're older. It's going to be worse for you because you've waited all this time You waited all this time. And then don't let it be a one night stand. Cause see, I'm about to get real on this podcast today. Like, don't let it be a one night stand. And you just stuck like Chuck. You can't get no more. You really will be fiending for it. And that's, I'm telling you, it is, that is something. The only, this fourth come not out, but by fasting and prayer. You gonna have to be on your face before God. But see, here's the thing with fornication. Once your flesh has gotten a taste of that, your flesh gonna want it all the time. That's why it is better to marry than to burn. Ah. Because see, if you don't talk about it, you won't get free. Whew, thank you, Jesus. If you don't talk about it, you won't get free. I ain't saying you put all your business out on Front Street, but what I'm saying is confess your faults one to another. That's what the Bible say. You yoke up with another believer in Christ, someone who is strong, someone who has been there. See, you can't link yourself up with somebody who messing up. Nah, because y'all both gonna go down. You got to link yourself up with somebody who's stronger. You might need to link yourself up with a married sister or a married brother so they can encourage you. Yeah, you got to have your single brothers and sisters in Christ. But what I'm saying is, if everybody falling, who is, y'all got, listen. It's better that two go together. For when one falls, there's the other one to lift them up. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes. You got to. Iron sharpens iron. You need someone who's going to hold you accountable and say, hey, what you doing over there? What you got going on? Why you keep sleeping with him? Y'all ain't married. You need somebody that's going to hold that mirror up to your face. I got a couple of people who hold that mirror up to my face. And it's still hard. It is still hard. Because let me tell y'all something. This week, oh my gosh, this week was hard. I was like, I had to do a half day fast. I was like, I got to fast half the day. I have to fast half the day. I was like, I can't get through the day. Cause I'm gonna call a number. It was bad. And then on top of that, other stuff was going on. So I got frustrated. It was just like, oh my gosh. But God in his infinite mercy, he heard me. He inclined his ear to me, as the word says. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. As it says in Psalm 121, my help comes from the Lord. I had to say Psalm 3. Many are they increased which trouble me. Many are they which say of my soul, there is no help for her in God. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, the glory and lifter of my soul. Like, I had to speak the word. That's the only way you're going to win. That's the only way you're going to win in this battle for your soul, for your, listen, the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. That is what he's out there doing. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That is it. That's his purpose. Steal, kill, destroy. And you cannot win against the enemy if you don't have any word in your arsenal. If you don't even know the scriptures that well, you're going to have to just pray it straight out the Bible. Because guess what? I did that. I picked my Bible up, either the iPad or the actual Bible. I picked it up and I started reading scriptures out loud. Because I don't know all of them by heart. And the ones I do know, sometimes I get tongue-tied while I'm praying, which that's the enemy. So I have to, you know, like, cast that to the, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then it's, let me just get it and read it straight out the Bible so I can make sure everybody understands stuff. Because I ain't got time to play with the enemy. Because it's war out here in these streets. Anyway, I'm sorry, y'all. Hold on. Let me drink some water. Okay. And when we sin, the thing that we're sinning in, we're making it an idol. We're just going to stick with fornication. That's what we're going to stay with. We're going to stay with fornication. I don't know. You might be struggling with gambling. You might be struggling with alcohol. You might be struggling with drugs. You may be struggling with lying, with cheating, with envy, with jealousy, with malice. You may be struggling with hatred. You may be struggling with that spirit of racism. You may be struggling with the spirit of homosexuality and lesbianism. You may be struggling with bestiality. I don't care what the sin is. Whatever you're struggling with, we're going to use fornication as an example, okay? Because everybody understands that one. We always want to categorize sin. Sin is sin. There is no big sin and little sin. There is no little white lie. It's a lie. You're a liar. Okay. Let's just cut it straight to the point. You're a liar and you need to stop. You got a lying spirit on you need to be delivered from. Let's just call a spade a spade. Okay. So like I said, we're going to use fornication as an example. Okay. Now let's say you fornicate and you are a follower of Christ. Let's say you have been delivered from that, but you chose to do it this one time or whatever like that, whatever the situation may have been. You have made fornication an idol. Do you realize that anything that goes against God's word, we're making that an idol? Oh, okay. It's quiet anyway, because I can't hear y'all's reaction. I'm just trying to give y'all a minute. Let it soak in. Anytime we sin, that sin we have made an idol because we chose that over obeying God. I was watching a podcast from Hardly Initiated. I can't remember the young men's names, but shouts out to them for their podcast. And they had Tiffany Montgomery on, Prophetess Tiffany Montgomery, excuse me. And she actually brought that up, and I was like, man, that's so true. Anytime we sin, we're choosing that sin over God. God says so many times in his word, don't fornicate. He even said, flee fornication. And that was actually a complete sentence. Well, let me find that. Said flee fornication. Don't even try to resist, just flee. It's because you know, it says in another scripture, submit yourselves unto God is a complete sentence, but then also right behind it says resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's all one scripture. Well, I'm like, we're told to flee fornication, like, and that was the sentence. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. The second sentence that's joined to that says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And it says, flee fornication. Don't even try to resist that. See, the other scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee. Obviously, with flee fornication, you ain't gonna be able to resist that. Mm-mm. You ain't gonna be able to get out of that one. Now, you may be like, well, I did one time. Out of how many times? 100? Yeah, no, that's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. So, where was I going? Okay, yeah, fornication. Every time you fornicate, you're choosing sex over God. So, you have made sex an idol. So then you're sitting there wondering why you're not married. God is not about to send his son or his daughter, his precious son or daughter to you, and you have made sex a god. And when I say that, because I know that was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, listen to me when I'm saying this. Okay, if you keep fornicating, what are you telling God? Well, you're telling God, I choose sex over you and on the throne of my heart. So I'm going to go that way. Well, you're praying for a spouse. Because then you'll add, well, God, if you would just let me get married, then I wouldn't be doing it. I wouldn't be struggling like this. Yes, you would, because you would still choose sex over God in the marriage. Bloop. Because see, yeah, because what I told y'all, that's been my struggle. That has been my struggle. I'm delivered from that. The struggle is choosing not to do it anymore. That's the struggle. Choosing not to fornicate, choosing to wait and be obedient unto God. That's the struggle, is being obedient unto God with my body. Choosing self-control over just over just going willy-nilly with doing whatever I want to. Yeah, that it is hard, especially when you've just been doing whatever you want to for so many years or whatever your situation may be. And here's the thing, what I learned about self-control. Self-control is not just when it comes to sex. Self-control happens with your finances, happens with the words that you speak, happens with your attitude, happens with your eating, happens with everything. Self-control encompasses everything. So if you can't have self-control over your flesh when you're single, why would God answer your prayer and put you in a situation where you have no discipline? Marriage requires discipline. Marriage requires self-control. You have to have self-control when you're married. What's going to happen if for worse happens to you and your spouse? What if your spouse gets cancer? What if your spouse ends up in a car accident and they're quadriplegic now? So you're just going to go out and cheat on your spouse? You see what I'm saying? Like, and those are just hypothetical situations. I pray that doesn't happen to anybody's spouse when they get married. I'm just using those as examples because you don't know what life is going to bring. You don't know. None of us do. Only God knows. So he's using your season of singleness to prune, and prune means to cut away those things that could be detrimental to your marriage. Why on earth would he put you through that? Then you get in it and stuff start. You tearing everything up and then you wonder, God, why you send me this man? Why you send me this woman? Why you put me in this marriage? No, you prayed for that. I gave you exactly what you wanted. You messed it up. So this season of singleness, with the highs and the lows, whatever that you go through, he's pruning away those things that are going to kill the marriage, because that's what Satan wants. Satan wants you to get married and you can't control your body. You can't control your mouth. You cussing your spouse out every 3 seconds because they didn't pop the popcorn the way you wanted them to pop it. Sound like I was freestyling now. Pop the popcorn the way you didn't pop it. Whatever. Anyway, he wants you to not have self-control over your finances. He wants you to blow through y'all savings and spin everything up because you got a gambling problem on the backside that you ain't tell nobody about. But God see that. Oh, yeah. See, this is real talk right here. So that's why this is not about a relationship. I'm not a relationship expert. I'm just telling y'all what I've seen, what I know, and what I've learned. Okay. I've been taking notes. I got a lot of notes. Okay. That's why the sin, whatever it is, I forgot what they call it. Whatever your poison is, you know, they say the term is pick, or the phrase is pick your poison. Because, I mean, literally it is. Sin is like a poison that we're drinking. It don't kill us right away. Not most of the time. But it's killing something in us. Killing a promise. Killing our future generations. It's killing, because death has to happen when you sin. Says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. So you have wages plus sin equals death. Yep. Wages of sin is death. Actually, of would make that a multiplication problem. So wages times sin equals death. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, when you sin and you've made that particular sin an idol, because we're talking about making idols, right? So you made that sin an idol. If you go to Psalm 115, which this is what Prophetess Tiffany Montgomery, which I love this psalm. This is a good psalm. I forgot that this part was in here. Because I think, anyway, I'll read the scriptures first and then I'll tell you. Psalm 115 and verse 3, it starts, "But our God is in the heavens. He have done whatsoever he have pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them." Now, that was the King James Version. The New Living Translation says, "Our God is in the heavens and he does as he wishes. Their idols are merely things of silver and gold shaped by human hands, but they have mouths but cannot speak, and eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, and noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, and feet but cannot walk, and throats but cannot make a sound. And those who make idols are just like them, as are all who trust in them." Basically, you're just like, you're an idol because you served your flesh. You served your flesh. You chose to obey the voice of your flesh than to obey the voice of God. So you have made yourself an idol. You put yourself on a throne in your heart. When you choose to lie, when you choose to cheat somebody, when you choose to manipulate somebody, when you choose to sin, you have done the sin, and then that sin is actually you serving your own self when you're supposed to be serving God. Y'all, it hurts to serve God. This is not fun and games here. It hurts because our flesh has to die. It's like this. You're going to have to die either way. You're either going to die because you are in sin, and the wages of sin is death. So you're going to either die that way, or you're going to die to your flesh in order to serve God. And when I say die to your flesh, you don't let your flesh have its way. And that mess hurts. It hurts. It hurts to deny your flesh. Your flesh wants what it wants when it wants what it wants. And it better not be a minute or a second late when it wants it. It hurts. That's why people don't want to fast no more. Talking about fasting isn't required in the New Testament. What? If it was good enough for them in the Old Testament, it's good enough for us in the New Testament. These New Testament Christians are on one. I tell you that. Because I don't understand how you disregard stuff, specific things in the Old Testament, but you want all the benefits of the New Testament. The only reason why you got all the benefits of the New Testament is because all the stuff the people in the Old Testament went through. I mean, let's just be honest. You got the benefits because of Jesus. Okay? Jesus was in the Old Testament too. You just didn't know that was Jesus because you ain't studying. But you, listen, people don't want to tithe no more. Why? Because that hurt your flesh, because you feel like you losing out on something. Your flesh like, well, I got to have my money. God ain't spending my money. It's because you're being obedient to him. He said, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse." I'm slapping my leg like I'm somebody's mama. He said, "Bring me all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be meat in my house. And prove me here now with, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will be no room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." But we don't want to do that because we don't want to obey. Y'all disobey God by not paying your tithes and offerings. And if you just do that, if you want to, I ain't playing them kind of games with the Lord. No. If you never paid your tithes, you need to start paying your tithes. I can't do that God math that he does. The math don't be mathing to me, but that's the way God's math works. Because I don't know how he could take negative 600 something dollar checking account, but yet and still all the food will be in my pantry. I got food in my house, all the bills paid, everything. I don't know how he did that. I don't know how he did that. That's that God man. I don't know how he took $125,000 plus of student loan money and it dissipated. Yeah, I filled the form out, but they didn't have to choose me. thank you, Jesus. They didn't have to choose me. They could have skipped over Stephanie R. Cooper. They could have skipped over her. I don't know how he does that math. I don't know. I don't know how he increased the podcast that this dumb little girl on here talking to almost 3,000 downloads in a little over a year. A year and a month. That's their God, man. I can't explain it. But I tell you what, I pay my tithes. Every time, I don't care if somebody gives me a dime. How do you tithe off a dime? Let's find out. If I can't figure it out, just take the whole dime, Lord. I don't care what it is. If I find a penny, I'm giving it to the Lord. Simple as that. It's not hard. It's not hard. You're making it hard because your flesh is selfish. See, we don't want that. We don't want nobody talking to us like that because we want everything sugar-coated. You can't keep eating sugary things. You're going to die that way. Your body's going to shut down. It needs meat. It needs vegetables. You can't live off of a sugar-coated word. It has been altered to satiate your flesh. And let me tell you something. It's wrong. Tithe off the gross. Not the net, the gross. Tithe your 10%. Give it to the Lord and go on about your business, sis. Go on about your business, bruh. I'm just letting you know. Y'all ain't gonna like it and it'll be okay. The Lord's still gonna send an increase. Praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. It's okay. Y'all don't have to like that. You don't have to like it. But God didn't ask us to like his rules. You go to school, you ain't like the fact that you couldn't be on your phone, which, well, hold up, wait a minute. When I was in school, we didn't have cell phones. When you went to school, you didn't like the fact that you couldn't just get up out your seat whenever you wanted to. You had to raise your hand, didn't you? And when you had to go to the bathroom, even if it was an emergency, you still had to raise your hand before you could get up out your seat and just leave the room. So if you complied to that, why is it so hard to comply to what the Lord is asking you to do? You ain't like the fact that your parents had a curfew on your behind, so you wouldn't be out here running the streets like a wild person. But guess what? You complied to that. You didn't like that one bit, especially when the party was just getting jumping at 11 o'clock, but you had to be home by 11:15. You ain't like that, but guess what? You was home. And if you weren't, guess what happened? You had consequences. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So why? That's no different than when the Lord say flee fornication. That's a command. Flee fornication. Don't even go near it. Don't go near it. If you are around people and you find out, like when you are around people at work and they are whatever they doing, woo-doo-woo, okay? They doing yada, 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 whatever it is that they do. And it's causing you, it's influencing you to participate in the same way or to think a certain thing way about people or whatever it is, then you need to stay away from the people. God is not going to come out of heaven and pick you up and walk you out the room. No, don't go in the room or walk through, say, hey, how you doing? If that's too much for you, then just don't go in the room at all. Simple as that. Simple as that. You ain't got to be on no crusade talking about, I can't be a part of this. Just go back to, now if they ask you and say, hey, it's bothering me a little bit when y'all, you know, and I don't want to be a part of that, but you know, I'm still cool with y'all. You know, we still cool. Whatever it is. and they don't like you for that, then hey, they were never with you in the first place. I mean, that's just, let's just be honest. But man, how far am I? I said I wasn't gonna be on this too long. I'm 35 minutes in. Holy Spirit said, you said you ain't gonna be on it too long. I say otherwise. Yes, sir. Yeah. So then we become like these idols that we have chosen to obey over the voice of God. And the Bible also says, it's just so much on this one. I typed in take heed. And take heed has so many. Man. 1 Corinthians 8, 9. But take heed lest by any means this freedom of yours, this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. When you choose sin over God for the veteran Christians who may dabble in sin once or twice every couple of years or whatever. However, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. You know that thing that I don't do it all the time. Okay. Let's say you just did it one time every other year. Whatever it is that you do. But there's a younger Christian that you hang out with, and you were talking about something. They were disclosing some information about whatever, and you just started talking to them because y'all hang out or whatever. Y'all hang out quite a few times during the week and do little Bible studies, but you just talking to this person, you know, because it's your homeboy, your homegirl or whatever, and you confide in them, they confide in you. But this thing that you do is something that they struggle with that they didn't tell you about. And you're talking about it like it's nonchalant. But to them, it's like, dog, I ain't know so-and-so does that. Well, it should be okay. You know, like, well, if they doing it, then okay, I'll do it too. You don't even realize that you're influencing this person or these people to do the same thing that you're doing. You may think, oh, you know, I repented and, you know, I'm not going to do it anymore. But in their mind, it's like, well, they've been saved for like 15, 20 years and the Lord has blessed them and stuff and they messed up like that. It should be okay. They go out there and they end up dying in their sin. That's on your head. It's on your head because you influenced them. You became a stumbling block to them. Or they go out and got addicted to something, following up behind you because you stronger in the Lord than they are. Like, we got to be careful with that. Like, man, it's like we got to be careful. It's all things. Paul says all things. Wait a minute. I don't want to quote that wrong. Hold up. That's one of them. Some scriptures, like, I could say, I could paraphrase. I can't paraphrase this one because this is one of those subjects in the church that people want to use as an occasion to sin. And it's like, no. It's a no. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. No. That's not it. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, I am in Christ. I am free to do whatever I please. But is that good? No, it's not. I can go have a drink. That's what he's, I mean, if we want to use something like hard hitting, like close home. Let's say I go out to have a drink. That's not going to send me to hell. Having one drink is not going to send me to hell. However, if a younger brother or sister in Christ saw me have a drink and they were struggling with alcohol, that could kill them. Cause they could go back and end up becoming an alcoholic and dying in that sin. That'll be on my head. That's what he's saying. All things are lawful for me, but it's not expedient. Like, I got to think. And you might be like, well, that's not my responsibility. People are adults. They should. Let me tell you something. We are all responsible for one another. Hezekiah Walker has a song, I Need You to Survive. I was playing in the church this morning before praise and worship started. Let me tell you something. That song is so beautiful. Oh, man. I gotta pull the song up. He says, I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is his will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. It says, I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. And that's the gist of the song. Like, we're all connected to each other in Christ. We're a part of the body of Christ. How are we going to sit up here? And yeah, if I can do it and it doesn't bother me, okay, cool. Good for me. Snaps to me. Kudos. But why would I risk my brother or sister stumbling? Because I want to do, this is part of that crucifying the flesh. This is the part of, it's hard to serve Christ. It's hard to serve the Lord because of the obedience factor that people don't want to talk about when they get up in the pulpit. You have to walk in obedience to God, and we're not going to get it right all the time, but you choose to sin. You choose to. When we are in Christ, we're made free from sin. We are free from the law of sin and death. However, that does not give us a right to just go all ham and willy-nilly and do whatever we want to do. No, no. Paul also said, now, he was the one that says, all things are lawful for me, but not expedient. But he's also the one that says, I keep under my body in subjection. Like, I keep under my body. You got to bring that thing down. Because I'm going to tell you what, that flesh rise up. It rise up to get beat down. That's what is really happening. You better beat that thing down with the word. You better beat your flesh down with the word. I'm telling y'all, I was in the fight of my life. Listen, this week I was in the fight of my life. I felt like I was up against the ropes. Y'all was going to have to come pull me out. Because look, I was looking for the bell to ding, ding, ding. I'm done. I can't. My flesh was whooping my behind. But let me tell you something. When I called on Jesus, Jesus came to the rescue. He heard your girl and he pulled me out. He came down and got me out of that mess. You see, you hear what I'm saying? Like, I was like, Lord, this flesh that you have wrapped me up in with all the extra fluffiness, it's, listen, Father, you got to send help. I said, you got to send backup, because it was, y'all, your flesh will literally rise up. Like Andre Day said, I will rise up. It is a flesh, yeah. Let me start trying to see. Listen. Y'all don't understand. Do y'all get this? I know I can't be the only person in the world. I cannot be the only person in the world. Listen. I know I've been saying that word for 15 minutes. Listen. Because y'all don't understand. If it wasn't for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Some of y'all know. You know what it's like. You've been fighting and you've been waiting and you've been hoping and praying. And then it's like, why am I still doing this? I might as well just go ahead and go back to what I... But see, here's the thing. I had to get real with myself and said, what you going to go back to? Death? Because Christ is the only... He's the only way to life. You going to go back out there to death? You going to go back out there and for what? For 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. Whatever it is, you going to go back out there for that? Then you got to start all over. You got to go through the whole cycle again. And that's what the enemy wants you to stay in that cycle. Oh, I sin. I don't deserve anything. The Lord going to take me out. Oh, I'm not worthy of this. And then you go through that cycle of guilt after you sin. And then you got to repent. And then, you know, and then you feel the enemy lying and hit you with you lying. You're going to go right back out and do it again. Watch. You're going to go, as soon as you get some more money, you're going to go on out of town and meet up with your friends. Y'all going to be ratchet. You're going to do all that again. And you're going to be back over here. Like, he hits you up with all of that guilt. And he's lying to you. Because when you ask for the repentance and you turn from your sin, repentance isn't just saying, I'm sorry, Lord, and he smack your hands, he pops your hands. No, repentance is turning from the sin and walking in the other direction and doing better. Like, when I say doing better, like, remember last week I talked about the pothole. Not even being on the same sidewalk with the pothole. You go to the other side. Quit trying to jump over the pothole in the sidewalk. You're going to keep falling in. Stop trying to build a bridge over the pothole in the sidewalk. It's going to break and you're going to fall in. Stop trying to walk around it. You're going to trip over something and fall in. Just walk across the street. You know the pothole on that same. Just walk across the street and avoid the whole pothole. If your environment is causing you to fall, you're going to have to change the environment. If you can't change the environment, you're going to have to change something in that environment. Like, I had to realize, you know, if I would just stop talking to the person, they're not going to call me. Person isn't going to text me. So, there. The only way this gets started is when I reach out first. So, if I start reaching out, nothing happens. Don't get me wrong. Once in a while, a text will come through. Hey, big head. Oh, okay. I already know what that's about. But usually, it's me. When you can sit there and say, it's you, that's growth. Because before, I couldn't see it. It's not me. I don't know why this is happening. Now, it's like, no, boo. It was you the whole time. You're the culprit. You know, you ever watch Scooby-Doo? Watch Scooby-Doo at the end. Let's see who this mass person is. It was you. It was you the whole time. It was you. You sitting here wondering what's going on. Why does this keep? It's been you the whole time. You are the weapon formed against yourself that won't prosper. Jesus. We sit here praying and rebuking and casting, and it's actually us. We keep putting holes in the boat, wondering why the boat is sinking. It's us. We got the drill in our hand, talking about, I don't know why this boat keep having holes in it. Stop it. It's called self-sabotage. And some of us deal with self-sabotage because of trauma in our lives. This is why therapy is also important. Jesus plus therapy. Get some, okay? I cannot emphasize that enough. It's Jesus plus therapy. Because then you know where your triggers are. And you can actually slow down your thinking enough when you're trying, your flesh trying to rise up. You can step outside of the situation and kind of go, wait a minute now. Wait. Let me look at this from every angle. Because that's what I had to do the other day. And I'm gonna tell you, it was all week. I was like, okay, now let's look. Now, you have a lot of stuff going on at work. You're frustrated. your anxiety is going up, which I, let me scratch that. Anxiety is going up, not mine. I don't claim that in the name of Jesus. Anxiety is going up. We need to pray on that. We'll put that on the checklist for prayer. And you got all of these events coming up in the next couple of weeks. You're just stressed. You're stressed. And so because you're dealing with anxiety, the anxiety got you asking all these 50,011,000 questions that have nothing to do with nothing. Look at one of the questions. And that's how I had to tell myself. Look at one of the questions. Look at one of the things you said. That has nothing to do with anything that you're going through right now. So we need to pray against the spirit of anxiety. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, once I started breaking down things, I said, I don't have to do anything unless I choose to do it. And that's really where I got to. That's what my spirit said. You having a tantrum. Your flesh is having a tantrum. Get over it and read this word out loud so we can get to work. Because that's what was going on. Sitting here crying. And all it was is my flesh is having a tantrum because I couldn't get what I wanted. Because the Lord said, wait. And my flesh is like, I've been waiting for a very long time. Can I not wait anymore? Are we there yet? No. Go back to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like, we gotta start talking to ourselves like that. And I'm telling you, only reason why I was able to do that is because of the Holy Spirit. And because I had tools in my toolbox from therapy that I apply with the word. I take the word and then I apply those methods, like self-talk. The Bible says meditate. It's the same thing. Same thing. Meditate on this word day and night. Let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength, my redeemer. I started speaking that word. And then I said, you know, Stephanie, it's really not that bad. As you're making it, it really isn't. Yeah, it's some things that we don't like, but greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Or in me, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't emphasize it enough that you need to be in your word and read your word and study your scripture. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study your word. Read your word. Okay. I feel my voice fading out. My nose is extra stuffy. I got to take some sinus medicine so I can be ready to go tomorrow for teaching. But I hope this is a blessing to y'all. Like I said, if you're an avid listener, I just ask that, you know, whenever you have a question or a comment, anything, just shoot me an email at blessedisshethatbelieved@gmail.com. Shoot me an email. Go to my website, same name. You know, just let me know what you're thinking. I love everything, even if you don't like it. Okay, thanks. God bless you. That's what I'm gonna say. Okay, thanks for your comments and concerns. God bless you. But yeah, I love to hear from y'all. So just reach out and thank y'all for tuning in, and I will talk to y'all later. Y'all make sure you are getting enough rest and staying hydrated so you don't sound like me. Okay. I talk to y'all later. Bye.